Before we begin again, I just want to inform the audience, whoever may be listening online or whoever's here, that Rabbi Rosner's shiur is back online. I gave a false alarm about a week ago. Apparently, we had technical difficulties. On ProjectSinai.org, you can find Rabbi Shalom Rosner's Daf Yomi shiur. As of this morning, yesterday's shiur was posted. Today's was not yet, but I'm sure if you check back, it will be posted soon. ProjectSinai.org. Okay, we left off yesterday on Daf Nun Tesam and Beis toward the bottom of the page. We had quoted a line from a brisa where we say that kohen achar kohen lo yikra mishum pegamo shel rishon, that you can't call a kohen to an aliyah right after another kohen, because that's going to be a pegam for the first guy. It's going to look very bad for the first guy. Why is it going to look bad for the first guy? Well, why do you need to call another kohen? Obviously, there was a problem with the first kohen, so it looks like you're redoing the aliyah to be to make up for the fact that there was a problem with the first kohen. Levi achar Levi, it said lo yikra mishum pegam shnehem. Don't call two Leviim because it could look bad for either one of them. Meaning it looks bad for both of them. Either will look like the first guy wasn't a Levi, or will look like the second guy wasn't a Levi. You normally only call one Levi. So we left off in the fourth wide line on Nun Tes Amid Beis, and the Gemara is going to ask why it is that the concern seems different by a kohen than it does by a Levi. Maishna Levi achar Levi dika pegam shnehem darmi chad minay lav Levi hu kohen achar kohen nami amri chad minay lav kohen hu. Why is it that by the Levi achar Levi we assume it's going to be a pegam to both of them, because someone will naturally assume that one of them, but you don't know which one, is not a Levi? By a kohen achar kohen, shouldn't you have the same concern? Why do we automatically assume that it's a pegam on the first guy? Shouldn't we say it's a pegam on one of them and we don't know which one, because whoever sees that you called two kohanim will assume that there was a problem with one of them? So answers the Gemara, Kigon demuksakal and bavua the haisheni de kohen hu. No, we're talking about a case where we know that the second guy comes from a family of kohanim. So then it's going to, you don't know anything about the first guy, you never met him before. So now it's going to look bad for the first guy, not for the second guy. So frek the Gemara, but if you're going to give parallel cases, then say the same case by a Levi. Hachanami de muksuk lambavua da haisheni de Levi hu. If the Bryce is being parallel over here, then the case of the Levi also should be a case where we know that the second guy comes from a family of Leviim, and therefore it should only be a pegam for the first guy. It should not be a pegam shnehem. So says Marala Amri Mamzeris Onasina Nasuv Pasil Lazare. Now, even if you know that the second guy comes from a family of Leviim, you don't know that he's a Kasha Levi. Maybe someone married a Mamzeris or a Nasina. Maybe he married a Mamzeris or Nasina, or his parents married a Mamzeris or Nasina, his father married a Mamzeris or Nasina, and it ruined him. And that's why he doesn't have the full status of a Levi, and that's why he's Pasil. So knowing that he comes from a family of Leviim is not good enough. Whereas by Kohanim, it is good enough. Frak the Gemara, it's not good enough by Kohanim either. Hachanami Amri Grusho Chalutzu Nosavachle Lazare. By Kohanim also, just because you're originally from a family of Kohanim, doesn't mean that somewhere along the line someone didn't marry a Grusha of a Chalutza and made the child a Chalal. So it could be that's why the child is not a Kasher Kohen. So again, we're back to the question, why the difference between the concern by calling two Kohanim in a row and the concern by calling two Levim in a row? Why, when we call two Kohanim in a row, are we only concerned about a Pagam of the first Kohen? And by calling two Levim in a row to the Torah, we're concerned about the pagam of both of them. So says Gemara, sof sof Levi mi kahavi. No, because if you're going to call two kohanim in a row, what's your concern? What would be your concern about the second guy if you know that he's from a family of kohanim? What, that he became a chalal? Then why is he getting the aliyah for Levi? Meaning, if when it comes to the Levi, if the guy is not a Levi, so he'd have a din of a regular guy, so he can get the aliyah after a Levi. But if the Kohen has a problem and he's a Chalal, he shouldn't get the aliyah after a Kohen. He shouldn't be getting the aliyah of a Levi. He doesn't become a Levi when he's a Chalal. He becomes a regular guy. He doesn't become a Levi. So that's why the concern is for both of them when it comes to the Kohen. But when it for the Rishon rather, when it comes to the Kohen, but for both of them when it comes to the Levi. Frak the Gemara, who's the concern for? Meaning, who's going to look and say, oh, there must be a problem with that guy? Ulaman, Ili Yoshvin, if it's for the people that are sitting there in shul the entire time, Hakachazilei. Well, the people sitting in shul know how to count. They can count how many aliyos there were, and they'll realize that they did count the first kohen's aliyah toward the minyan shiva, toward the number of aliyos that they're supposed to have. So all the people in shul will realize that it wasn't a pagam in the first coming, because if there was a pagam, we wouldn't have counted him toward the minyan, toward the number of aliyos. So elo aliyotzin. It must be that the concern is not for the people sitting there; it's for people who leave early. Sometimes people leave in the middle of kriyas haTorah, even though the halacha says you're not supposed to, but sometimes people do. So we're concerned for those people that they're not going to realize what happened. Shalchu le b'nei galila l'Rabbi Chelbo achrein mikorin. So they sent the shaila: who reads after the Levi? We said Kohen comes first, then Levi, then who? So lo hava biyadei. So he didn't, meaning obviously Yisrael, but the question is what kind of Yisrael? Meaning, is there any other? Are there any other levels? Any other madrigos that we need to go through? So lo hava biyadei. So he didn't know the answer. Also v'shaila l'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha amalei, and he responded achrein korin talmidi chacham amunim parnas amal tzibur. That you, after you call a Levi, the next aliyah shlishi should go to talmidei chacham who are appointed in charge of the tzibur. And after that, v'achrei and talmidei chacham ru'in l'minusam parnasam al tzibur. And after that, you should have talmidei chacham who aren't actually appointed over the tzibur, but at least are worthy of being appointed over the tzibur. What makes someone worthy of being appointed as a parnas on the tzibur? So if you look at Rashi, he quotes the Gemara Masech Shabbos Kuf Yedalid, Ezu talmud chacham sh'ro'i l'minusam parnas al tzibur, kol sh'sholin oso dvar alacha b'kol makom v'yomra. Anyone who you could ask him a dvar alacha anywhere regarding any matter, and he knows halacha, a cult, he'll be able to respond to you without hesitation about any halacha anywhere. That's someone who's ra'ui limnos parnes al tzibur. Needless to say, those people are really hard to come by nowadays. The minig Ashkenaz, b'nei Ashkenaz nowadays, is that shlishi is the best aliyah, just because you see the Gemara does assume that they're not all equal, that we do go in a given seder even after the Kohen and Levi. So we don't have people of this madrega, we just give shlishi to whoever we think is the most chashuv. So shlishi generally is considered the most chashuv aliyah. The Magen Avram, however, in Simin Reish Pei Beis Sifkatan Tes, quotes from the Zohar that shishi is the most chashuv aliyah. That's why many Svardim and Chasidim will assume that shishi is the best of the aliyos to give out. There's an interesting Tashbet in the Tshuva in Chelek Beis Simin Reish Ayin Vav, writes that the Rush used to have the minhag that he would take chamishi. Now, why would he take chamishi? Unbelievable, says the Tashbetz, because nobody else wanted it. So the Rush said, okay, no one else wants it, everyone's too chashuv to take chamishi. So the Rush said, okay, so I could take chamishi. So he used to take chamishi because he apparently didn't feel that he was too chashuv to take chamishi. In Maisa Rav, it says also interestingly that the Vilna Gaon would be knowing to go up for shishi. Why? Because he was a chassid? No, he certainly wasn't a chassid, right? So why would he go up for shishi? So Maaser Avid explains that he would go up for shishi because he followed the seder of the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara says that after the Levi, so who should get shlishi? Someone who's menuyin parnas al tzibur. He said, Vilna Gaon says, I was never menuyin parnas al tzibur. I was never appointed as a parnas al tzibur. Who should get revi? Talmidei chacham ru'in menuyin parnas al tzibur. He said that means someone who can answer Dvar Allah because of his humility. The Gra said, I'm not someone who could do that. I can't answer halacha b'chol makom. Who gets chamishi? V'achreim b'nei talmidei chacham shavosein memunim parnas mel tzibur. The children of talmidei chacham whose fathers were appointed as parnas mel tzibur. He says, well, my father wasn't, so I'm not that either. V'achreim rashi knesios. And then other communal leaders. He said, okay, I'm that. Other communal leaders. So he put himself in...
That really pshat in the Gemara that when say achrayim, does that mean if that person's not there that the...
It's a good question. Meaning, what if there are five people who are Menuhin, Parnas, and El Tzibur? Shouldn't they all go before...
Yeah,
it's a good question. I'm not sure. So he says, anyway, so that's why he would take... that's what it says in Maaser Rav. So apparently that's the way the Gra understood it. It's a good Ha'ara. And then after that, V'kol Adam. Once that's done, then anyone else can take the Aliyah. The Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Lamed Vav quotes that now the minhag is that the Gadol goes in the Achron, because the Gadol gets the last aliyah, and he says based on the concept of achron chaviv. I'm not sure exactly how that works, because again the Gemara seems to assume that it's not so. The Gemara seems to assume that in this case at least it's not achron chaviv. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Shalchu le b'nei galil Rabbi Chelbo. Ma likros b'chumashim beis haknesset b'tzibur. If you don't have a Torah, can you just read from a chumash in the tzibur? Now when the Gemara talks about a chumash, the Gemara doesn't talk about the kind of chumash chumashim we have, a published chumash with chamisha chumshi Torah in it. The Gemara means that they used to, you'd always write a scroll, because there was no printing press. So either you would write a scroll with all chamisha chumshi Torah, that's what you call a Sefer Torah, or you'd write a scroll with only one of the five chumashim. And that's what they would call a chumash. So can you read from a chumash? Again, it's on a scroll, maybe you had Ibud Lashma, you had everything that you need for a Sefer Torah. The only thing is, you didn't have all five books, you only had one of the books in the scroll. So can you use that for Kriyas HaTorah? So Lav Abiyadeh, he didn't know the answer. Asa Shaila Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha V'Lav Abiyadeh. They went and they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he didn't know the answer either. Asa Shal Be Midrashu Pashtua Meha Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Yom Rabbi Yochanan. So they answered the question based on that what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Sefer Torah Shechas Yuriya Achas Ein Korinbo. That if a Sefer Torah is missing a column, if Sefer Torah is missing one of the sections, so you're not allowed to read from such a Sefer Torah. So apparently, if a Sefer Torah is missing a section, you're not allowed to read from it. If it's missing four out of the five books, you shouldn't be allowed to read from it. So we see from there that a Chumash should be no good. Says the Gemara Velohi, but that doesn't really answer our question, because Hasa Michsa B'Milsei, Hachalom Michsa B'Milsei. Over there, you're calling it a Sefer Torah, and it's Chaser as a Sefer Torah. Over here, no one's calling this Chumash a Sefer Torah. We're saying it's a Chumash, it's labeled as a Chumash, so there's nothing Chaser about it. It is exactly what it's meant to be. So it could be that when something is meant to be a Sefer Torah, it's a problem if it's chaser from being a Sefer Torah. When something is only meant to be a Chumash, it's not a problem if it's chaser from being a Chumash. The Tosus Maseches Megillah, Daf Tes, brings a raya from here, from the idea that Sefer Torah that's chaser Yuriya Achas cannot be read from. He says, why does it say chaser Yuriya Achas? What about if it's chaser Os Achas? Can you read from such a Sefer Torah? So Tosos in Maseches Megillah Daf Tes says, you see from here that if a Sefer Torah is only missing a single letter, it does not become possible. And the Rashba writes that, the Rashba, however, disagrees. The Rashba writes, no, Rashba over here says, Yuriya is Lav Dafka. Hu Adin, if it's missing Os Achas, it's also going to be possible. So you have two very different deals, very important Lahalacha. Tosos says that missing a letter is still a Kashra Sefer Torah. So if you're relaying according to Tosfos, and you find that it's missing a letter, keep on going, it doesn't really matter, it's still a kosher Sefer Torah. According to the Rashba, it's absolutely possible. Not only can't you keep on going according to the Rashba, you got to put that Torah away, take out another Sefer Torah, and start again. You need to start from the beginning again, because you weren't Yotzei anything, because it was possible the entire time. What do we pass in the Halacha? So if you look at the Mishnah Brura, he quotes these two deos. He doesn't quote the Tosfos day, he quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam, he quotes, he might quote Tosfos, I don't remember, but he quotes that there's a compromise shita, that the compromise shita is, and I believe it's the shita of the Ma'ari Be'Rav, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, where the Ma'ari Be'Rav holds that you yotzei what you've already read, but you need to take out a new Sefer Torah mikan l'aba to read what you're supposed to read from here on. So that, and again, because for what we've already read, we rely on the daya of Tosfos that it's really a kosher Sefer Torah. But Lagabe, what we have to read from here on in, that for that we're not going to rely on Tosfos, so that we'll assume like the Rashba that it's a pasul Sefer Torah. The raya that Tosfos that the Rashba has, rather, that if it's chaser os achas, it's pasul, is he says everyone is moda that tefillin that's chaser os achas is pasul, a mezuzah that's chaser os achas is pasul. So why should a Sefer Torah be easier? Why should a Sefer Torah be more kal than tefillin and mezuzah? So the Gerash Yerachim, defending the Shita of Tosos, writes that you can't bring a raya from tefillin, because by tefillin you need to put on the tefillin kemosha kasuv batorah, as the parshios are written in the Torah, as opposed to by kriyas haTorah, we know that we would be machshir chumish if it weren't for a kavodat zibur issue, so which we're about to say in the Gemara. So if we would be machshir chumish if it weren't for a kavodat zibur issue, you see that you don't need the Sefer Torah in its entirety. You see that for kriyas haTorah, it's not a din in having the entire thing complete, as opposed to tefillin, which we know it is a din in putting the complete parashios on you. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu ain korn b'chumashim v'sakhnes mishum kavod tzibur. You don't read from chumashim in the shul because of kavod tzibur, meaning as kriyas haTorah you can't be yotzei from chumashim because of a kavod tzibur issue. Again, I referenced before, the Ritva writes over here that the chumashim shalanu, our chumashim, our printed chumashim that don't have ibud l'shma, it's pashut that you're not allowed to read from them that this it wasn't even the issue in our Gemara. The issue was the Chumashim that are written as scrolls that have Ibud Lishma. The Mordechai says that our Chumashim, it's Pashat that it's Mutter, because our Chumashim have all Chamisha Chumashe Torah in them. So you don't need Ibud Lishma and all the things that make for a Kashra Sefer Torah. If it's a Chumash that contains all five books, it would be good enough. And that goes to Maimonios in Hilchus Tefillah Perikid Beis, Halach Chaf Gimel, writes that Bizman Azeh, we read from Chumashim because there's an interesting line. He says, we read from our Chumashim because Bizman Azeh, anyway, all of our Sifrei Torah are psulim. What does he mean by that? Anyway, all of our Sifrei Torah are psulim. He says, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says, we're not Bekiyim Bechaseros V'Yeseros. We don't know where all the Chaseros and Yeseros really belong in the Torah. An extra hey, an extra yud, and then you take away a hey. So since we're not Bekiyim Bechaseros V'Yeseros, all of our Sifrei Torah are psulim. So that's a huge chiddush, because he's suggesting that Sefer Torah Chaser Osachas, even Bechaseros V'Yeseros, where it doesn't change the meaning whatsoever, that would pass live as well. That's often attributed to the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban, in his Hakdama to his Pirush on Chumash, says that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the entire Torah is the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban says, for instance, you can cut off the words at different points, and it spells out different Shemos Hashem. It's meaningful in the way that it's written, implying strongly that if it's Sefer Torah Chaser Osachas, doesn't make a difference if it's Chaseros V'Yaseros. If that's part of the Shem Hashem, and you're inaccurate about the Shem Hashem, so the whole Sefer Torah is going to be puzzle. That's what the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taryag discusses, that how it could be, the major kasha, Shagas Aryeh asks, the major kasha, how it could be we're ever Yotze Kriyas HaTorah. How are we ever Yotze Kriyas HaTorah if we're not Bekiyim V'Chaseros V'Yaseros? Shouldn't all of our Sefer Torah be puzzle? So the Shagas Aryeh uses it to say, that's why nowadays no one is Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah anymore. People aren't Nizar in the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah anymore nowadays, because anyway, we don't know how to write a Sefer Torah, because we're not Bekiyim V'Chaseros V'Yaseros. So there's no point in trying to do the Mitzvah. We're not going to be able to do it properly anyhow. But the Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Taryag, says that no, we do assume that we know how to write a Sefer Torah. What's the I? We're not Bekiyim V'Chaseros V'Yaseros. He says Chaseros V'Yaseros don't passel the Sefer Torah. Well, passel the Sefer Torah, yes, an Os Achas can passel the Sefer Torah if it changes the meaning of the word. If it doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not going to passel the Sefer Torah. Similar to the Machlokas quoted in the Beis Yosef regarding Rabbi Sachs pointed out regarding making when a Balkari makes a mistake. There are three sheets. What you do when a Balkari makes a mistake. One shita is just let it go. The other shita is correct it no matter what, right? The Rambam shita, you correct it no matter what, even if it's a mistake in trup, the way some understand it, the way Reb Chaim supposedly understood the Rambam. The first shita is not just is most of the time let it go, unless the person is mamish mecharif u'megadef. Like for instance, instead of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he read that last dalet as a resh. Hashem Acher, that's what you correct. Anything short of that, you don't correct. But what do we paskin? We paskin, if it's a mistake that changes the meaning of the word, you correct him. If it's a mistake that doesn't change the meaning of the word, you don't correct him. So the obviously you need to know what changes the meaning and what doesn't. But similarly, says Minchas Chinuch, when it comes to a psul of the Sefer Torah, if it changes the meaning of the word, if the missing letter changes the meaning of the word, so then it's a psul Sefer Torah. Otherwise, it's going to be a kasha Sefer Torah. So the point of the Agos Maimonios is far from Pashat. The idea that you can use our Chumashim because it's no worse than our Sefer Torah, which are Pasul anyway, is not Pashat at all. Okay, anyway, so it's a Kavod HaTzibur issue. That's why we don't use Chumashim. If it's a Kavod HaTzibur issue, you have the interesting question of, can the Tzibur be Mochel on their Kavod? Can they say, okay, we're Mochel. Now can we read from a Chumash? So the Taz in Siman Nun Gimel, Sifkat and Beis, discusses whether, when it comes to Kavod HaTzibur issues, if Mechila works, and he paskins that it doesn't work, because Kavod HaTzibur is really Kavod Shemayim, and the Tzibur doesn't have the ability to be Mochel on Kavod Shemayim. The Pri Chadash says that it does work, that Mechila does work. The Bach points out that it depends. If it's purely a Kavod issue, so they can be Mochel on the Kavod. But if it's a Bizayon issue, that it's not just that it's not going to be a covet for the Tzibur, it's a Bizayon for the Tzibur. They're using Chumashim, it shows that they're Aniyim Merudim, that they can't afford in the entire Tzibur, they can't afford together to buy a Sefer Torah, so it's a Bizayon for the Tzibur, so such a thing, they shouldn't be, the Tzibur is not allowed to be Mochel. Okay, says the Maravai. The Rav of Rav Yosef, Darmi Tavai, Hai Sefer of Tarta, Asu Lemikrobe B'Shabbos. A Sefer of Haftoros you're not allowed to use to read from on Shabbos. Meaning, if you have a book that only has the Haftoros printed in them, it doesn't have all of Nach printed in it. It just has the Haftoros printed in it, so you're not supposed to use that on Shabbos. My timer, Tolonit on the Kasev. Because whoever said you're allowed to write such things down, that you're allowed to write part of a book down without writing the rest of it down. So since it's lo nitan likasev, right? Rashi says pachos mi sefer echad shalim liatzmo. You're not allowed to write less than a full sefer down. So ma'abra Rashi amar tiltuli nami aser. It's muktza too. My time at the lochazi lemikribe. Because if you're not allowed to use it to read from, then yeah, it has no use. So if you're not allowed to read from it, so then it's muktza velohi. But we don't pass it like that. Shaila tiltuli v'shaila lemikribe. Says the Gemara, it's mutter to be metaltal it, it's not muktza, and you're allowed to read from it. Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish ma'ani b'sifra da'agadata b'shabata, because we know Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish used to read Sfarim of Agadata on Shabbos. They used to read Agadata Sfarim on Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out over here that it was dafka on Shabbos, and Sifra Agadata doesn't mean what we would call Agadata. It really means Kabbalah. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, and he says when Shabbos, which is Kodesh Kadashim, comes, so a person is more open to being able to understand things on a deeper, more mystical level. But obviously, during the rest of the week, a person is supposed to spend their time learning halacha, learning the meat and potatoes of Torah. And it's dafka on Shabbos that they reserved for the Sifrei Agadita. But the point is that the Sifrei Agadita also ideally should not have been written down, but they were allowed to, once it was written down, they were allowed to use it. So affecting Mar Valonit and the Kasev, this stuff wasn't supposed to be written down. But since if it wasn't written down, it would have been lost forever. So when it comes a time where we have to do something in order to preserve the Torah, we can even violate the Torah in order to preserve the Torah. So the same is true about the Sifra Daftarta. They wrote the books of the Haftaras. You're not allowed to write down less than the Sefer Shalim. Yeah, but for an Eslasas Hashem, you're allowed to write down Torah Sheh Bal Peh, and for Eslasas Hashem, you're allowed to write down less than a Sefer Shalim of Torah Sheh Bechsav. Can you write down a Megillah for a child to learn from? So Tibay Leman Diyamar Torah, meaning just a section of Torah. Just take one section of it. So Tibay Leman Diyamar Torah Megillah Nitna, Tibay Leman Diyamar Torah Chasuma Nitna. It's a shiloh whether you hold that the way the Torah was given was one Megillah at a time, meaning as things were happening, Moshe Rabbeinu was writing a section of Torah at a time, and then after all the different Megillahs were written, it was put all together to create one Sefer Torah, and it's a shaila if you hold that the whole Torah was given in one unit. To buy the man, the Amar Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, Kivin the Megillah Megillah Nitna Kosvin Odim Kivin Did Vakidvik. Do you say, well, if the Torah was given one Megillah at a time, that should indicate that it's okay to write down a single Megillah, or do you say no? It was okay for Moshe Rabbeinu prior to the Torah being put together in one unit to write down one Megillah at a time. But now, once the Torah is already one single unit, so now it can't be split up anymore. And also, the Shaila also exists if you hold Torah Chasuma Nitna. Kivin the Chasuma Nitna Ein Kosvin. Do you say, since the Torah was given as a single unit, you cannot write it down? Or do you say, well, you have no other option over here because the children need to learn, so therefore you're allowed to write down Megillah Megillah? So Amalei Ein Kosvin. So he said, no, we paskin Ein Kosvin. You're not allowed to write down Megillah at a time. Why Ein Kosvin? So Matam Lefish Ein Kosvin. Because that's the rule. The rule is Ein Kosvin. So what does that mean, Lefish Ein Kosvin? So if you look at Rashi, Lefish Ein Kosvin, says Rashi, V'afilu mandra Megillah Megillah Nitna, Kivan de Idbak Idbak, meaning this does not depend on the machlokas of Megillah Megillah Nitna or Torah Chasuma Nitna. Even if it's Megillah Megillah Nitna, we assume that once the Torah was attached and made into one big unit, it becomes one big unit, and that's it. Esvei afi asa tavla shalzav shaparsha sota ksuva aleha. So, frekta Gemara, is it really a problem to write down pieces of Torah that are less than a sefer shalim? Didn't they, when they used to be mashka the sota, they would have a tavla shalzav, a tablet of gold, where the parsha sota was written on it. to use as a as something that the Kohen would look at when he was writing over the Parsha Sota. No, the Parsha Sota wasn't written on it. It was the Rosh Tevis of the Parsha Sota to remind the Kohen what it actually says there. But they wouldn't actually write out the Parsha Sota because that you're not allowed to do. But he says, no, it says that he's Rov Kosiv Masha Kosuv Bitavla. That he writes exactly what it says on that piece of gold. So don't tell me it was just Rashi Tevis. It sounds like he's writing down exactly what it says there. So it must be that they had the entire Parsha Sota without the rest of the Sefer written down in the Tavla. Kimasha Kosuv Bitavla. You have to say not that he wrote exactly what it says in the Tavla, but Kimasha Kosuv Bitavla. Something similar or something patterned after that which it was written on the Tavla. Esvik Shu Kosiv Ro Bitavla Kosiv Masha Kosuv Bitavla. Mahu Kosuv Bitavla. Im Shachav Im Lo Shachav. What does it say on the Tavla? So it quotes, starts quoting the Pesukim. Now there's no Pesukim Shachav Im Lo Shachav, but Rashi and Tosfos point out that Im Shachav it never says. It says Im Lo Shachav, it actually says in the Pesuk. Then it says Va'ad Kisatis. Okay, fine, but it basically it means that you would write out the Pesukim of what the Parsha Sota is all about. So Hachamai Eskin and Besirugin. So he said, no, but they didn't write out the entire Parsha. They would write out a word here, skip a lot, write another word, meaning they would just give give Rashi Tevis for a while, write another word, meaning so it wasn't actually a parsha written out. Kitanai says in Gemara, this is really all subject to Machlokes Tanaim. Ein kosu Megillah l'tinok l'slamid ba v'imdaito l'hash l'mutter. You're not allowed to write a Megillah for a child to learn with, but if you plan on completing the entire Sefer, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yudom Bereshis Ad Dor HaMabul, you're allowed to write, starting with Sefer Bereshis, only up until the Dor HaMabul, meaning you don't have to finish the entire Sefer. B'toris Kohanim Ad Vayihi B'yom HaShmini, and if you're writing Sefer Vayikra, you're allowed to write up until Vayihi B'yom HaShmini, you don't have to finish the entire Sefer. Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Bina'a, Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna Shenemar, Oz Amarti Yine Basi B'Megillah Sefer Kosvalai. How do I know the Torah was given one Megillah at a time? Because it refers to it as a Megillas Sefer. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Torah Chasuma Nitna, he says, no, Torah was given as one big unit. How do I know? Shenemar Lakoach Sefer HaTorah Azos. The Sefer HaTorah Azos, implying that the Sefer Torah in its entirety was given over. Vidach Nam Yaksiv Lakoach. What is the Shita that holds that it was Megillah Megillah Nitna do with the Pasuk that says Lakoach Sefer HaTorah Azos, that you take the entire Sefer Torah at one time? Yeah, the entire Sefer Torah was put together eventually. Once it was all attached together, it became a Sefer Torah Azos. It became one big Sefer Torah. V'idach Nami, what about the Shita that holds that it was Chasuma Nitna Haksiv B'Megillah Sefer Kosvalai? What do you do with the fact that the Pasuk refers to it as a Megillah? Ha'hu D'kol HaTorah Kula Ikri Megillah. He says, yeah, that Pasuk is telling me that the entire Torah altogether is referred to as a Megillah. D'chsiv Ayomri Leima Torah V'amrani Ro Megillah Afa. So you see, the Pasuk refers to the Torah as a Megillah Afa. So even though it's the entire Torah, still it's called the Megillah. Inami, or else you could say Lich to Rabbi Levi. Dam Rabbi Levi, Shmona Parshios Nemar B'Yom Shukam Ba Mishkan. There were eight Parshios that were written in eight separate Megillos because they were far apart from each other in the Torah that were all given on the day that the Mishkan was erected. Why were these Parshios given? Presumably because these Parshios were important to know the day the Mishkan was erected because they related to how to act in the Mishkan. Number one, Parshas Kohanim. Certainly you need to know the halachas of a Kohen and the Tumah of a Kohen and when he's allowed to do the Avodah, when he's not allowed to do the Avodah. Number two, Parshas Leviim. What's the Parshas Leviim? So Rashi quotes two deos. Either Kachas Leviim de Baaloscha, Shabbat Hilchas Leviim, either the Parsha about the halachas of the Leviim, which make a lot of sense, or V'yesham, says Rashi, Vel HaLeviim to Daber, meaning the issues of Maisa Rishon. So says Rashi, though, that second Shita is not really correct, because what does the Hakamas HaMishkan have to do with Maisa Rishon? Who cares about Maisros when it comes to the Hakamas HaMishkan? There's nothing, you wouldn't need that Parsha there, the Hakamas HaMishkan. Number three, U'Parshas Temeim, the Parsha of Temeim. Again, Tosfos quotes, the Rashi over here says, it's Vayihi Anoshim, that it's the halachas of Karban Pesach, and that we needed to learn about the halachas of someone who's tameh when it comes time for the Karban Pesach, because the Mishkan was erected on the first day of Nisan. Tosfos points out, not really. We should have been learning that 15 days earlier, because Shaul and Vidarshin Lamed Yom in advance, right? Also, or if you're talking about Pesach Sheni, 15 days later, right? The Gemara says we learn Shalom Vidosh and Lamed Yom because they learned Halach of Pesach Sheni 30 days before Pesach Sheni. So Tosfos says Parshas Tmei must have to do with the Tumas Sharet and Nevela and all the other types of Tuma that are Nogea in the Mishkan that could cause problems. And next, also Parshas Shiluach Tmeim, the Parsha of sending the Tmeim out of the Mishkan, Parshas Achremos, Uparshas Suyayin, Uparshas Neros, Uparshas Paraduma. So these are the Parshios that were all written on the day that were all given on the day that the Mishkan was erected. So that's why the Torah is referred to as a Megillah. But Einachinami, overall though, the Torah was Chasuma Nitna. Amar Rav Lazar, Torah Rov Biksav Umiyat Alpe, a very strange machlokas the Gemara has now. Rav Lazar says the majority of Torah is Torah Shebiksav, and the minority of Torah is Torah Shebalpe. Shenemar Echtov Lo Rubi Sarasi Kmoza. Right, that I write down Rubi Sarasi. Kodesh Baruch Hu says most of my Torah is written. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rov Al Peh Umiyat Bichsav, and Rabbi Yochanan says no, the majority of Torah is Torah Shebal Peh. It's only a minority of Torah that's Torah Shebichsav. Shneimar Ki Al Piyad Dvarim Eile, because the pasuk says Al Piyad Dvarim Eile, which implies that most of it is Bal Peh. So, frak the Gemara v'idach nami aksiv echtav lo rubi sarasi. What is the shita that holds that it's rov bal peh? Do with the fact that it says echtav lo rubi sarasi, that most of it is written. So, ahu atmui kametama. No, he reads the pasuk differently as a bitmiha. Echtav lo rubi sarasi halo kamo zar nechshavu. Why, you want me to write down most of the Torah? Whatever I did write down, you're not even studying. You're not using properly. So, why should I write down most of the Torah? It's written bitmiha, but most of the Torah is in fact not b'chsav, it's palpeh. V'idach nami oksiv ki al pi advar me'ela. What about the shita that holds that it's mostly written down? What does he do with the pasuk of al pi advar me'ela? Sahu mishum to tekifu l'migmarinu. No, that just means that it's more difficult to learn it, but not that it's a majority quantitative majority that majority is balpeh. So the machlokas seems like a very strange machlokas, right? The Rishonim struggle with this. What do you mean rov b'chsav, rov balpeh? I could tell you it's rov balpeh. Look at any bookshelf. The Torah Shebuchsav takes up less than half of a bookshelf, and the Torah Shebalpeh takes up the rest of the library. No, so isn't it obvious that Rov of Torah is Torah Shebalpeh? So if you look at Rashi, Rov Bichsav, Rashi says Rov HaTorah Tuluya B'Medrash Shekesuva L'Midrash B'Chal Pratu G'zer Shav V'Shar Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Ben. Rashi says what you have to do is you have to expand the definition of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav doesn't mean Tanakh. Torah Shebichsav means Tanakh and anything learned from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Ben. That's all included in Torah Shebichsav. Whereas Torah Shebalpeh is things that are not learned from Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Ben, which includes what? Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So Torah Shebalpeh is therefore Miut. What would the shita that holds Rov Balpeh hold? Apparently the shita that holds Rov Balpeh would say that what counts as Torah Shebalpeh is not only Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Ben. The only thing that counts as Torah Shebichsav is Tanakh. So it's a machlokas of how to categorize things. How do you categorize what is called Balpeh, what's called Bichsav? How you categorize what's called Bichsav, what's called Balpeh? Either way, it's Din D'oraisa, isn't it? So in the Psicha to the Psicha Kolela, so the Prima Gadin, he comes up with like four or five nafkaminas to this issue. One nafkamina he says is if it's a suffix, if something is Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh, so meaning that the halacha is, the Gemara in Horio says, that ein bezin chayavin ad sheyoru b'davar sheinat stuck in modin bo. That when it comes to the parhelim davar shel tzibur, Beisdin is only going to be chayiv if their mistake was in something that the tzedukim are not moded to. Meaning, if they made a mistake in Torah Shebalpeh, if they made a mistake in Torah Shebichsav, then everyone else should have known that on their own, and the Beisdin is not going to have to bring a parhelim davar shel tzibur. What if you're not sure if the issue they made a mistake about was Bichsav or Balpeh? So the Be'er Sheva writes, if it's a suffix, you follow the Rov. So if Rov Torah is Balpeh, so then Al Pi Rov, they're going to be chayiv. If Rov Torah is Bichsav, Al Pi Rov, they're going to be Pater. So, and Also, nafkamina would be, what if it's the mistake was in Yigam Lidshat Torah Nidreshet then? So if you assume that it's that's called Torah Shebichsav, so then they're going to be Potter. If you assume that's called Torah Shebal Peh, they're going to be Chayiv. And he has other nafkaminas as well. So if you take a look at the Pesichah Kalelis, he has all the nafkaminas. But otherwise, it would be a very strange machlokas without nafkaminas. The other achronim, I think the Rasham might say, that it may not be, the machlokas might not be how you categorize Yigam Lidos, the machlokas might be how expansive Torah is. When you talk about Torah Shebal Peh, does that mean any Chiddush I say today is also part of Torah Shebal Peh? So if you say yes, then it's Rov Bal Peh. Meaning even, it could be everyone agrees Yirgul Mirshat Torah Nidreshet Behen is considered Torah Shebichsav. Whether Rov is Bal Peh might mean is Rov Dinim D'Oraisa that we know from is Torah, the category of Torah only include Dinim D'Oraisa, like things we know from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or does it include anything that's ever said, anything that a Talmud Vasek is also L'Ischadesh, in which case it would be Rov Bal Peh. Alright, Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeini, Mitorgamani D'Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Ksiv Ksov L'Chas Advar Me'elu, Ksiv Kialpi Advar Me'elu. It says on the one hand, ksov lecha, which implies that it's supposed to be written, and on the other hand, it says al piyad dvar me'ilu, which implies that it's supposed to be bal peh. Hakeitzad, dvarim shebiksav, yata rashi lo'omran al peh, dvarim shebal peh, yata rashi lo'omran biksav. So, bottom line is, what we see from there is that there are two distinct parts of Torah. There's Torah shebiksav, which is supposed to remain biksav and not be said bal peh, and there's Torah shebal peh, which is supposed to remain bal peh and not be written down ever. That's the halacha. Dibera bishmaltana, eila atakosev, yata kosev halachos. That you're allowed to write these down, but you're not allowed to write down halachos. Amrab Yochum lo karsakarj. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael el b'shvil dvarim shebal peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only was koreish bris with Klal Yisrael because of dvarim shebal peh. Shenemar ki al pi advarim eila karati yitcha bris ve'es Yisrael. So the Torah shebal peh is what forms the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Meaning Torah shebichsav is something that's open to the Umos Holon as well. They have it, they see it, they print it. So when it comes to Torah shebal peh, they don't have it, and that's what makes us unique. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koreish bris with Klal Yisrael about. Obviously, as we alluded to on Amud Aleph, nowadays, Eis La'asas Hashem Eferu Sor Secha, we allowed the writing down of Torah Shebal Peh because we were afraid that if we don't write it down, it's going to be lost. People were not remembering it anymore, so they were Eferu Sor Secha. They violated this halacha of not writing down Torah Shebal Peh in order to preserve the Torah. The Marsha says that it's more than that. Not only did they violate this halacha of writing down, what was the reason why you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh? So the assumption was, look, if you know you have to remember something, let's say someone tells you a phone number, so you know, and you don't have a pen and paper on you, or a cell phone, or a BlackBerry, or anything to program it into. So you know you have to remember something, so what do? You sit there saying the number. Right? You just say it to yourself over and over. You chazer and you chazer and you chazer until you memorize it. When you write it down, you forget it. You don't even pay attention that you wrote it down. So Rav Marsha points out it was a major sacrifice to Limud HaTorah when they started writing down Torah Shebal Peh. Prior to writing it down, people would make sure they'd chazer and chazer and chazer. Now it's written down. Why should I chazer? It's written there. If I need it, I'll look it up. And chazara took a huge hit when Torah Shebal Peh started to be written down. So that's the real Eferu Sor HaSecha over here, says the Marsha. That Eferu Sor HaSecha, we gave up on the most important part, which is the constant chazara of Torah. Ma'arvin b'ayis yashem b'nei darkei shalom. One of the other things the Mishnah said we do b'nei darkei shalom is you keep an Eruv in a house that it was always in. You don't change the location of the Eruv. My taima, ilei mishum kavod, if it's an issue of kavod, v'ahu shipur da hava me'ikara be'rav Yehuda, ul'psof be'rabu, ul'psof be'rav Yosef, ul'psof be'abai, ul'psof be'rava. There were these shofros that started out by Rav Yehuda, then they moved them to Rabba's house, then Rav Yosef's, then Abai's house, and then Rava's house. Now, if you're really worried about kavod, why would they move these shofros? What shofros? What are we talking about? So Rashi says the shofros that we're talking about over here were on Erev Shabbos. He used to blow a shofar when Shabbos was coming to warn everyone to stop doing malacha. So it was those shofros that we were talking about, that they would move from one house to the other. When each rabbi died, they moved it to the next rabbi's house. Then he quotes, Rashi quotes from Rav Shri Ragon, that the shofar shal nedava. That shofar is like the shofros in the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't mean a shofar, it means a tzedakah box. That these were the communal tzedakah boxes that they would put any nedava in, and that they would put nedavas in to support the Bnei Yeshiva. That whose house they kept it in changed from time to time. So Tosos does not like Rashi's
first pshat that it was kept in, that it was the shofar that they would blow on Erev Shabbos, because he says there's a Gemara in Shabbos that implies that they would keep that on Rosh Chagad. And also, these were rabbis in different cities, so it doesn't make sense that it would that there would only be one shofar and it would go from one city to the other city. Adrabi, each city had their own shofar that they would blow from. So Tosa says the second Pshat in Rashi is correct. But either way, bottom line is, if it's an issue of kavod, why by the shofar, don't we have the same issue of kavod? El mishum chashad. So rather, the Gemara says, it's not an issue of kavod, it's an issue of chashad. What sort of chashad? Rashi says that since it was normal, it was always accepted that the Eruv was in that house, and if you go and you change the location of the Eruv, someone is going to see the Eruv is not where it always was, and yet people are still carrying. So someone's going to be choshed, people are going to be choshed that these people are carrying without an Eruv. So that's the chashad. They're going to be choshed them to carry without an Eruv. Tosos, however, disagrees. Tosos says, "Pirush Rabbein Tam Shelo Yomru Mnei Chashad Shechoshtim Oso Lignov Pashal Eruv Ein Manichnos Osham." No, Chashad means that the concern is that if you move it out of someone's house, people are going to say, "Oh, you know why they had to move it out of that guy's house? He kept on stealing the bread. He kept on eating it. So that's why they had to move it out of his house. They're going to be choshed him as being a ganav now if they move it out of his house." But by the shofar, there's no chashad because everyone knows that they leave it by the Reish Masifta, that they leave it by the most prominent rabbi of the time, and to give to the Talmidim, to give to the Rosh Yeshiva, so he can give out the money to the Talmidim. So that's why by the shofros, again, assuming shofros were not the kind of shofros you blow, shofros were tzedakah boxes, it makes sense. It wasn't an issue of chashad at all. Of course they would move it to the house of whoever the new Rosh Yeshiva is, because he's the one with the responsibility of making sure that the Talmidim have what to eat. So that's the point. That's the issue of chashad. Okay, The Beis Yosef in Siman Nun Gimel quotes from a Rashba in connection with this Gemara regarding the issue of firing a Baal Tefillah, that if you have a Shliach Tzibur, who it's not so pasha to fire a Shliach Tzibur unless you find some real psul, because it's going to be an issue of chashad. You fire a Shliach Tzibur, people are going to say, "Oh, they must have found something out about him." Meaning they're not going to just say, "Oh, they didn't like his nigunim anymore." They'll assume that they found something out about him, so it's a much more sensitive issue when you fire a Shliach Tzibur. Bar shukar v'lama, so we said the bar that's closest to the water gets filled first, also mipnei darkei shalom. So itmar, b'nei nohara, rava mar tasai shasumai b'resha, shmol amri loy shasumai b'resha. When you have people that have fields alongside a river, so Rav says the bottom one, the bottom field where the river flows to, gets to divert the water to it first, and Shmuel says no, the top fields get to divert the water, take the water to itself first. Now, if it's just flowing along the side of the field, so then there's nothing to really argue about. If you don't have to divert the water, you just go to the water and you go to the river and you take a bucket and you pull water out of the river. So then there's no machlokas that everyone's allowed to go and take on their own schedule. The issue is when you have to divert the water to your field. That's where the machlokas is. Shmuel Amri Yilai Shasumai Breisha Damri Anu Makravina Tvei. Shmuel says the guys on the top get to divert the water to their fields first because they say we're closer. Rav Matasai Shasumai Breisha Damri Nahara Kapashi Lezel. And Rav says no, the guys on the bottom could take it first because they could say let the water go where it's trying to go. Let it go all the way down. Tanan, Bara Karov La'ama Mismali Rishon Bnei Darkei Shalom. Does our Mishnah shed any light on this? Our Mishnah says that the bar that's closest to the Amma, to the Amma Samayim, should fill up first because of Darkei Shalom. So isn't that a raya to Shmuel? That which is closest goes first? So Tirgum Shmuel, Liba Durav, Ba'ama Hamasalechas Alpi Boro. Now, Shmuel says that Rav would answer you that that's talking about an Amma that goes right next to your bar. That it's Mesalechas Alpi Boro, that it fills itself up, meaning it goes right over the bar and literally fills the bar without you diverting anything. If it fills itself up without you diverting any of the water, what's the chiddush? Of course, you're allowed to let it happen. So I might have thought that you have to tell him that you should close off the mouth of your bar so that the water shouldn't go and fill in your bar and ruin the rest of the river and the rest of the flow of the river. Come Ashmalan, that you don't tell the guy that. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin at the top top guys go first to the bottom guys. Since we don't paskin either way, we don't have a definitive statement like Rav or like Shmuel, so we just say kol dolim gavar. They let them fight it out, and whoever wins is going to win. I mean, let the top guy and the bottom guy fight it out. What do you mean lo itmar hilchsa lo kamar v'lo kamar? Tosfos points out we have rules. When you have machlokas Rav and Shmuel, hilchsa k'Rav b'isurei, hilchsa k'Shmuel b'dinei. Why don't we paskin like Shmuel over here? Because it's hilchsa k'Shmuel b'dinei. So Tosfos first quotes what Rashi says that this gemara must not hold of that rule, which would make a huge difference for us because we do hold of that rule, so we should therefore pass on like Shmuel. Inami Tosa says, "Hakum istaver time the Rav alfa gav dachin masnis nalibe." Over here, Rav is more logical. So even though normally we pass on like Shmuel, over here Rav is more logical. Other Rishonim point out that I think the Rush points out that no, since Shmuel goes out of his way to explain Rav, that's why we're more likely to pass on like Rav over here. Normally Shmuel won't go out of his way to explain Rav. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll start with a very brief discussion of Kol D'Olam Gavah.